Morning, everybody.
Morning.
I think about the public reading. You see division of labor, don't you? Okay, for building the temple. Guys, not everybody has the same part, but everybody has a part. And the goal is build this house for the Lord. And we understand that spiritually. You know, each of us just ask in line with what we've seen from the book of Romans, like, what's our part? Okay, a couple things here. Everybody see that? Old Testament questions. Here is your number to call. Oh, did I get that wrong? I'm sorry. Let me try this again. Everybody in the back see that? Marriage counseling. This is the number. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Simpson. You are a brave man. Is that what Caleb said? Okay. Seriously, though, for duty roster, it is. Mr. Simpson puts all that together, and it's helpful for him, of course, to know what you're, I don't want to say what you're willing to do, but times that wouldn't work for you, or if you're going to be out of town, etc. So I think we'll leave that number there. It won't distract me today, so we'll leave it up there. Thank you, Mr. Simpson. I always enjoy the Assembly of the Saints. I really enjoyed Kendall's stewardship today. You know, I never picked that up. I never thought about that. You know, that coin had the likeness and inscription of Caesar on it. And, you know, rendered to Caesar what's Caesar's and to God what's God's. And then I really liked how you pointed out at the end, like, out of everything belongs to the Lord. But I liked how you pointed out at the end that God reserved mankind. And that's what God put His likeness and inscription particularly on. That's a really good point. I enjoyed that. And then, Lord's Supper meditation from Raj, just a reminder, guys, what the Lord's done for us. And so what we want to offer up to Him. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 13. Lena asked me if I was going back to Romans today, and I said, yes, I am. Actually, I got to change something here. Still not always as techie as I... Okay, not very techie at all, but I figured out a few things. All right, I think I'm good here. Romans chapter 13. Guys, we'll start reading... Actually, I want to start in verse 8, and we'll read through verse 14. Romans 13, beginning verse 8. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, it's summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. And this do, knowing the time, that it's already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night's almost gone and the day is at hand. Let us therefore lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just praise you. We thank you, Lord, for your working within us. We're thankful that you were willing to come and to rescue us, to deliver us from this present evil age. We're thankful for your wisdom, Father, in setting your table the first day of the week and calling us together to partake with you in the heavenly realm and to remember what you've done, but also with a forward look, we proclaim your death until Christ's return. And so, Father, we're thankful for that forward, upward look to see you in glory and to see you in your return. I ask, Father, you be with me today as I preach your word, that communicate clearly the really the urgency of today, and that we would, each of us, lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on that armor of light. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So we've been going through Romans for a long time, and the book about faith. And then we get into chapter 13, and we see this little picture of love, and then I veered off and preached a whole series on love, and now we're back into Romans chapter 13. But I do want you to notice, love is, we saw last time, love never fails. And we talked about love's the ultimate motivation, isn't it? Like, all other motivations at some point break down. Even faith, we saw from 1 Corinthians 13, faith without love. If I have faith so as to move mountains but do not have love, is that where he says it profits me nothing? So faith, as great as it is, and the book of Romans is about faith, it's about obedience of faith, but love's the ultimate motivator. And so he says, after talking about this, love does no wrong to a neighbor, love's the fulfillment of the law. Now he shifts on off of that, he says, this do, like owing nothing to anyone except to love. This do, knowing the time. This is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. Guys, I want to say one thing. There's so many things that if you're in the Word, like it motivates you. It keeps bringing you back to reality. And one of the phrases that the Scripture says, a focus in the Scripture is to beware or be aware. Be on the alert. Be on guard. You know, I think it's really easy to fall into complacency. A little bit of a casual attitude. You're going along. You know, let's put it this way. There are times in my life, I've heard a message or I've read the Scripture, I've been like super convicted, and I'm like, man, if I wasn't a Christian before, I'd become one today. Right? And sometimes maybe you're battling with people and like, what's the hold up? What's the hang up? Like, you see this, there's urgency, right? Like, do this. As Ananias said, Paul, what are you waiting for? Why do you delay? Arise and be immersed and wash away your sins. But then, sometimes we become Christians and we get into the reality of the grind of this journey. And you can kind of go into float mode a little bit. You know what I'm talking about? The book of Proverbs warns a little bit about in that, what I call float mode, you know, the complacency of fools shall destroy them, the Scripture says. Complacency, guys, ends in death. The journey that we're on, this spiritual battle, it's like we're in the midst of these rapids, and somewhere we go into just float mode. We throw away our, you know, we're not steering, we're not guiding, we're just going along for the ride. If that's where you're at, when you hit those rapids, you're going to die. So complacency isn't an option for us as Christians. I've mentioned this, my dad says, casual, it's easy to get a casual attitude, casual leads to casualties. And so the Scripture, the Holy Spirit here through the Apostle Paul exhorts us, like, we need to be aware. We need to understand, know the times. You know, how many times does the Scripture say, beware? And those things always kind of jump out at me. There's a few things that, you know, when the Scripture says, do not be deceived. Okay, probably better listen up. Scripture says, beware. You know, beware of practicing your righteousness before men. Beware of false prophets. Beware of false teaching. Beware of greed, etc. Like, those are all things like, hey, be aware, be careful, because these things can creep up on you. But, or be on your guard. Okay? Or be on the alert. Have you noticed the times the New Testament specifically tells us to be on the alert is in reference to Christ's return? Be on the alert. Christ could come back at any time. Here he says, it's already the hour for you to awaken from sleep, for now salvation's nearer to us than when we believed. You know, every year after the Spanish Peaks Clinic, we're leaving the peaks, and I always ask my boys and whoever else riding with me, hey, what was your favorite message? Like, what stuck out at you? What stuck with you? And, it's always, I always enjoy getting their take and hearing their take on different messages and the things that really stuck with them. And I remember a few years ago, you know, I don't remember much of the message, but I remember Matthew's, he said, Papa J's, and what it was is, hey, today could be the day. Like, you wake up this morning, you recognize, you understand, like, Jesus is coming soon. He could come back today. You wake up every morning with the idea, today could be the day of Christ's return. Because that'll change your life. It's a very simple concept. But it'll change your life to think today is the day. And that's the exhortation here. Hey, put on love. Hey, this do, knowing the time. Hey, the hour for you to awaken from sleep. Wow, I did a little different note form here, and I can, even with my progressives, I can barely read my stuff here today, Sal. Because, bear with me a little bit. He says here, like, guys, we're spoken of as those who know the time. Already knowing the time. You ever think about non-Christians of the world, and the way I picture them is like spiritually stoned people. Like, I think I mentioned this there. We had a meth head in the neighborhood here, struggling through our block here. A week, matter of fact, Scott Baer happened to be at my house that night. And there was somewhere. This guy had no clue what was up, down, which way around. And the world, I think about that. The world has no clue what's going on. I mean, they might sit in front of their idiot box in front of their, you know, that's sitting in their living room every night, and they're being programmed to think a certain way, but they have no clue what's really going on. Brother, we as Christians, we get the opportunity to know. Like, the book of Revelation, hey, come up here, and I will show you. Come up here, or from Daniel, keep looking, and I will show you. And it's the perspective from the throne. And the perspective that he says, knowing the time, is Jesus is coming soon. It could happen any minute. Like this should motivate us. There, maybe, I don't know if I'm getting ahead of myself. There's a phrase that shows up a couple times in the Old Testament I really like. Men who understood the times. Who knew what Israel should do. Like, they're aware of what's going on around them. Particularly, it was in reference to David being made king as one of those times. And the men of Issachar understood the times, and they knew what Israel should do. And that was basically to ensure that David was firmly established in his kingdom. Guys, Jesus is coming again. He is king. He's the judge of the living and the dead. And we, understanding that, we have a priority to continue to sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts and to proclaim Him to this world. To get our own spiritual lives in order. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 21, just real quickly. There's certain lines in the scripture. For some reason, you know, it's all good stuff. But there's certain lines sometimes that just go in there and they strike a chord with me. And at opportune times, they come back up and kind of reverberate in my mind a little bit. And here's one, Isaiah chapter 21, verse 11 and 12. The oracle concerning Edom. One keeps calling to me from Seir. Watchman, how far gone is the night? Watchman, how far gone is the night? The watchman says, morning comes, but also night. If you would inquire, come back again. And there's that line, watchman, how far gone is the night? Do you ever look around the world and ask yourself that? How far gone is the night? My dad has a series of publications, and it's called 11th Hour Press. And the reason he called 11th Hour is like, guys, the time's near. We're in the 11th hour. Be ready. And that's our exhortation from Scripture. Okay, to understand, to see the times around us. You know, what time is it? In simple terms, time to wake up from our sleep. You know, there's times, guys, in my spiritual life. I said, you know, there's times that, hey, if I wasn't a Christian, I'd be one today. But there's other times I've been in float mode. And the scripture comes back. Wake up! Wake up! It's time to recommit. It's time to step back up. And that's from Romans chapter 13. We see that. I don't know the illustrations, but if there's something you really want to do. I remember as a kid, like, we knew, like, some relatives that we really enjoyed, they were coming. And we'd be, like, looking out the window. And like, hey, Mom, when are they going to get here? What time is it? How much longer? How much, like, you're looking with expectation, right? Some of you guys that enjoy hunting. Like, you get up, like, ridiculously early in the morning so that you're out there ready to go so you don't miss what you went out to get. And that's, to me, what's the scripture telling us. Like, wake up. Get up. It's worth it. Like, be looking out the window. What time is it? What time is it? It's time. It's time. Sometimes I think sports teams, I don't know, John, looking at John Isall right now, if your team ever did this in basketball, I don't know what era this was from. You're still a young dude, but what time is it? Everybody in the huddle. What time is it? Game time. You know, and that, did you guys ever do that on your teams or not? Oh yeah. And there's just, like, this is the time. And that's what the scripture's telling us. This is the time. Jesus is coming soon. I think there's two ways that we can think about that. Before I venture into that, I'll just ask you guys, is everybody pretty aware that the world in which we live is hurtling towards hell at maybe never before seen speeds? Like, my dad back in the early 70s, he started preaching and he talked about the conspiracy and the world, you know, what was coming and what was, and everybody thought he was a total nutcase. You know, talking about the Council on Foreign Relations and Trilateral Commission, Bilderbergers, et cetera, et cetera. Like, this guy's out there. But you actually look at what's transpired, and most people now don't think, you talk about that stuff, they don't think you're a nutcase anymore. It's like, there is real, there's conspiracy, and for our intent and purposes, guys, I want us to understand, there's a master conspirator, Satan. And his goal is, it's against the church. That's the whole purpose behind everything that he does. So, you can take something, the book 1984. Anybody ever read that? That few of us? Wow, we are an uneducated group. All right. 1984, George Orwell, right? He basically said what was coming. Now, he was off a little bit. He predicted 1984 these things were going to happen. But anybody ever think about the whole hate speech thing today? Like, that's basically in there, right? I think, I forget what the word was that he used. Think, speak, or something. But, like, you are programmed what to say, and you're not allowed to say or talk about stuff outside of that. Because that's the world we live in. Hey, the hour's at hand. It's time to wake up. If we've been putting stuff off, if we've been, you know, in our life dragging our feet or not quite wanting to get on board. Because I know Satan's attacked us in this congregation the last few years. I've felt a lot of them personally. I know that many of us in this congregation, from some of you guys talking to me, I know you've been hit hard. And when Kevin was saying, hey, some, you know, we've got a number of guys talking about not wanting to be on the roster or whatever. And I understand, like, this battle is fierce. And I appreciate, you know, some of you guys, I don't know why, but some of you share with me, hey, there's things that you just want to make sure you got squared away before you're up here. I appreciate that. But I just want to encourage you. The solution is, like, rise up. Rise up. And win. And that's me too. All of us. That's the exhortation I get here from the scripture. Hey, the time's at hand. Wake up. Get focused. Give it everything you got. This is the one thing that matters. Let's get it right. Jesus is coming soon. We can think about that, like I said, in two ways. The fact that I think the camp of the saints is being surrounded. I think the Jesus' return, I know, is imminent. But also think about it in your own personal life. Today could be the day. You know, it's interesting. John Heim recently passed away, and got a chance to be up there enough and just kind of see the transition in the last few days of his life. And watching somebody die, it always sticks with me. It doesn't look to me, guys, like there's anything easy about dying. And I think about it from a Christian perspective. Personally, I think that's an opportunity. If that's the way we go out, the Lord gives us to, hey, get, like, be finished being perfected. That perfecting process, like we get to go through that there at the end. But you know, at a personal level, it just reminds me, unless Jesus comes back first, in which case this is totally relevant, right? Coming soon. We don't know the day or the hour. Be on the alert. But if he doesn't come back first, that's the end of every single person in this room. There's a day when we're, you know, either in a car accident or something tragic, or we're laying in a hospital bed somewhere, you know, getting hot, shirt coming off, you know, having ice chips on our tongue and shutting her down. What matters then? It's only the one thing that matters then. And that's eternity. And that's what we've done for eternity. You know, the psalmist talking about the days of our life. What's he say? 70 years? Or if out of strength, 80 years? Sweeney was talking about in class this morning about being young. He is still young, 28 years old. But you know, a couple of years is going to be 30. Between 30 and 40, you're just shocked how fast 40 comes. And the change in the way you feel between 30 and 40. Guys, I'm 46 years old, and guess that's middle-aged, but I'm well over halfways. I think, but I'm screaming down the other side of the mountain. Like, this is the way this works. It happens. It happens quickly. And so, you know, our dog Bosco is now 9 years old. He's a boxer. And you can, guys, he only, what do they say? Dog years? Human years? Seven, right? 9 times 7? 6'3". 6'3" years old. And you can tell by looking at this dog, he's only got a couple years left. I mean, he's still fun and lovable, and every once in a while you get a little spark to energy, but that dog was so wild and crazy when he was younger. You know, now the only reason way he gets excited is when Matthew comes home for the summer. You know, that's, hey, you can look at him and say, he's on his way out. It's interesting because dog years, you know, to human years, we can see that whole thing transpire in a short period of our lifetime. But guys, that same thing's happening to every one of us. And so the scriptural exhortation is wake up, right? Jesus is coming soon. And there's a principle here. Where we're looking is where we're going to end up. Like, you know, you see people and there's an accident and they're all gawking at the accident along the road, and then there's multiple accidents. I remember Nick Jacobs doing a motocross thing and picking out his line the night before, because where you look is where you go. And the scriptural exhortation is Jesus is coming soon, guys, and that's where our hope should be fixed. When we fix our hope on Christ's return, it motivates us. How's Peter say, what sort of people ought to we to be in holy conduct and godliness? Hey, we're looking for His return. We're hastening the day of His coming. Motivates us. 1 John chapter 3, you know, talks about having our hope fixed on Him, particularly about Jesus' return. Everyone who has his hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Like that, looking at Christ's return motivates us to be holy. He tells us to lay aside the deeds of darkness. You know, guys, we've been born again. When we were born again, that old man died, right? And there's scriptural exhortation and hammers that home. And that faith picture of Romans chapter 6, that old guy died. But have you ever noticed the scripture tells us as Christians, like there's this continual exhortation to lay aside the old man? I think honestly, sometimes like people, they get this before they're immersed into Christ and they're excited about the old man dying, excited about a new person coming to life. But maybe the reality of the challenges on the backside of that, that old man is going to want to come back. And you're going to have to make a commitment to continue to lay aside that old man. What's Jesus say? Everybody who picks up his cross daily and follows me. And so we see a lot of exhortation in the scripture. We see it here in Romans 13, lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Just want to look at verses 20 through 24 for a second. It says, you did not learn Christ in this way. Talking about the sinful ways of the Gentiles. It says, if indeed you've heard him and have been taught in him just as truth is in Jesus, then in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupt in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. We might even look at a few particulars that he mentions here later. But I just want you to notice, guys, this is written to Christians. And he reminds us, hey, we didn't learn Christ in the way of that old Gentile world. We didn't learn Christ in the way of the sinners. That's who we were. But that's not how we came to Christ, and that's not who we are. But there's an exhortation here that we have to continue to lay aside the old man. In other words, the reality is the old man likes to come back. Anybody notice that? Like this guy doesn't die easy. I think there's a reason the scripture pictures it as a crucifixion. That's a painful, agonizing death. And so we got to commit to laying aside that old man. I know we affectionately call Mr. Dobson, Dr. Dobson. I like that because he's a true Christian, right? Doctor in the house. But there's a guy named James Dobson, okay, Dr. Dobson in the world, who writes, he's head of something called Focus on the Family. And one of the books that he's written is called The Strong-Willed Child. And Julie and I read that and we found that helpful for some of our kids and maybe one in particular. But, we found it helpful. But one of the points that, you know, that he made, I was just thinking, and maybe I'll save this illustration for a message in a couple weeks, but I'll just put it this way. Guys, the flesh is like that strong-willed child. The flesh is strong will. They're going to come back and come back. Let's put it this way. A strong-willed child tests the boundaries from time to time. And you know what? Strong-willed child, if they find that those boundaries have gotten a little soft or have changed a little, and the strong-willed child wins, now you got to fight on your hands for a long time. Again, to get that back in line. The flesh is like that. So we got to lay aside the deeds of darkness. And, you know, that old man, we'll talk about the particulars here in the next couple weeks. I was wanting to get to the armor of light today, but some of the things I want to communicate are a little bit challenging on that, so I'm glad I'm going to have a whole message to preach through that. But because the old man, I think we got to recognize that's not us. There's all the spy stuff out there, the espionage, the Bourne trilogy or whatever, Jason Bourne. One of the things that I like that gets communicated that is what your identity really is. And I've thought about it in my spiritual life. It's like, I want to be where my new man Like I've said before, that's my second nature. No, that's the wrong way. The new man's got to be our first nature. Like that's who we have totally 100% bought into who we are. That old man will come back and try to, you know, and the lies, the way that Satan works is, oh, you haven't changed. That's who you are. He's going to flash pictures of that old man back in front of you and try to get you to buy, to identify with that. The scripture says, you lay aside that old man. Understand, that's not the real guy. That's the false self. That's the imposter. You think about him being buried 6 feet deep. You hit him in the head with a shovel and tell him to get back in there, okay, where he belongs. We're laying aside those deeds of darkness. It's interesting, this morning for opening, Matthew used a vacuum cleaner for his illustration with the kids, and it was really good. He was using it in terms of a plugging in and turning on the button. But I think about vacuum cleaner today, for my point is, there's the law of vacuum. And the law of, Mrs. Carr's like, the law of the vacuum. I've never heard of this. You'll understand. One of the laws of nature is empty vacuum, things rush in to fill it. That's true spiritually. It's true at my house. I mean, I clean up my side of the room and there's an empty spot, space. Hey, it's all this nice clean space on the floor. Place for stuff to go. Hey, That's my experience with it, Caleb Gole. You know what I'm talking about, Caleb. Hey, that's the way it works. Hey, guys, spiritually, isn't that true? Like, we're lay aside the deeds of darkness. I ain't going to talk particularly about some specific ones. But he also says, put on the armor of light. If you lay aside without putting on, guess what's going to come back? All the old stuff multiplied. Go with me to Matthew chapter 12. We'll close here this morning. Matthew chapter 12. There's a principle that Jesus brings out. Matthew 12 verse 43 says, now when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I'll return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds it unoccupied, swept and put in order. Then it goes and takes along with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there, and the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. That's the way it will also be with this evil generation. There's a principle. The old guy moves out, but if nothing replaces that, he comes back with a vengeance. Did you guys notice there's a little similar terminology there to a passage from 2 Peter? The last state of that man becomes worse than the first. That happens to a Christian who doesn't overcome, but is overcome. We got immersed into Christ, guys. We lay aside, like the old man died. But if we don't continue to lay aside the deeds of darkness and put something in his place, that old stuff will rush back in. Hey, this is a motivator. Jesus is coming soon. The one thing that really matters, where you're just going to spend eternity. If you've been dragging your feet, you know, sometimes self-talk's an amazing thing. You ever listen to your self-talk? And for me, you guys don't want to hear about me all the time, but I know I need to get back into shape. And I'm having a hard time with my Achilles and whatever but you know, it doesn't mean I have to eat junk just because I can't do. But man, I've been eating junk. And I've been loading up on the junk. You know, hey, when am I going to change those eating habits? Next week. Amazing thing, next week. You know, after the award ceremony. Or after Matthew's, the award ceremony is that. After Caleb's graduation. After, there's a natural tendency. When I hear myself talk, it'll put it off. Put it off. I'll get to it tomorrow. Guys, there is no tomorrow. That's the exhortation from Romans 13. Hey, it's time. You want to know what time it is? It's game time. It's war time. Today. Today is the day to awaken from your spiritual slumber. Today is the day to lay aside those deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Amen? All right, let's stand.